as attending Mass or church service and truly engaging in praise and worship. Until that April morning, the closest I had come to church attendance was watching WeTV's Mary Mary, an eponymously titled reality series about that gospel duo, and body rolling the tracks of theirs like God in Me, but only the chopped and screwed versions because as a native of Houston, Texas, everything sounds better to me chopped and screwed, Jams for Jesus included. Other quasi-religious activities for my churchless life included posting contemptuous social media updates about the Baptist church across the street from my Harlem apartment and how the incredibly bad singing coming out of it is disrespectful to Jesus. Even if I had become an estranged acquaintance of Jesus, I didn't feel he deserved the shaky vocals having soloists and an equally terrible choir shouting off-key about Christ's love. If Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross in order to die for our sins, the least any church singers can do is find the correct note. I often describe myself as a recovering Catholic, but when a more pointed question such as, "So what do you believe in?" surfaces, I struggle with specificity. I know that I am not an atheist. For me, to let go of the idea of God altogether would mean completely sinking to a level of cynicism and jadedness that ultimately could devour me whole. This is not to speak for atheists in general. It's merely what an embracement of atheism would mean for me. I cling to the idea that there has to be something bigger than us. Perhaps God is not, as he is so often depicted, the old white man with a white beard, as long as a freshly sewn in 22-inch Peruvian body wave human hair weave. Maybe God is not a man at all. Over time, I've grown weary of using male pronouns to denote that divine being. In all the years of my absence from God's house, I've continued to fall to my knees, sometimes on a random sidewalk, to pray, if for no other reason than to leave some line of communication open. As for Jesus, I swung back and forth from "that's my nigga" to treating him like a friend with whom I've fallen out with because I hate a lot of his punk-ass friends, e.g. so many Christians, and never really had a proper sit-down with him to make amends. Many with a firmer stance about their religion have mocked or at least expressed befuddlement at those who say they are more spiritual than religious. It is their belief that such a non-committal position reads as lazy, like it's putting the tip in with respect to faith, but not really going all the way. For them, it's merely a matter of effort. You can do it, put your back into it. Such opinions are a reflection of their own lack of will to step outside of themselves and their experiences and see how those on the other side feel. How can you be obedient to dogma you found oppressive? How can you cling to tradition and exalt a vision of God that minimizes you and expects you to suppress what is innate to you? Is it not an exercise in futility to place your faith in a belief system that doesn't completely believe in you? Some of us either do not know the answers or have found ones that leave us on our own respective journeys for clarity and understanding, independent of any organized religion. It may not be a definitive position, but there are periods in life during which a gray area may be best. For those who do not understand or refuse to understand, such is their right. They also have the right to mind their own damn business. Anyway, in the midst of this cloudiness over my religious ID, I found my way back inside of church to attend service. Naturally, I would go on Easter Sunday, one of three specific days when a bevy of lay Christians or full-fledged heathens opt to go check in with God. The other two are Christmas and Mother's Day. Funnily enough, there was no grandiose moment that got me back inside of a church for the first time in well over a decade. It was just a simple request from my best friend Andre. He prefers the aesthetic of lowercase lettering, and I respect it. Dre and I were at brunch a week before, and he asked me if I wanted to go to church with him on Easter. I don't recall what number Bellini I was on, but I was of sober mind when I replied, sure. Now, for years and years, my mother had been encouraging me to go back to church. The most opportune times for her to push her agenda were whenever I felt my lowest. My mother may not have always seen me as holy as I would have liked, but she was one of the very few people who could see through my veneer. A person who knew that beneath the flexes of strength and feigned indifference to a hostile world was a man often struggling to hold it together. In these weak moments of mine, she would push me to go back to God's house to renew my faith and, by extension, be in a better place in every facet of my life. I like my methods better. Mary J. Blige albums and maybe another prescription to a generic form of Celexa. After a while, she did take the hint that I was as firm in my choice not to go as she was in hers that I ought to. She would continue to encourage me to pray, send rosaries and prayer books, and sometimes casually mention that I might want to tip my toe into God's residence. But in time, she majorly fell back. She wanted the best.